God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
I'm sorry, I know I cut you off early there. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope you had a great Christmas yesterday. And I know there's a lot of folks traveling today, and we just pray for their safe travel and that they have a lot of fun with family and friends wherever they are. I welcome you today. My name is Eric Dirks, and I'm one of the pastors here, and we are grateful that you are here today to celebrate, well, this time of year, Christ's birth, but all year around, Christ's resurrection and what God did for us through the life of Jesus Christ. If you would open up your bulletins real quick. For me, the insert in your bulletin is what we lovingly call Cliff Notes. It's your study guide for this week. Cliff Soppy writes them, and they follow along with the sermon this week. So make sure you take this home, put it by what I call your prayer chair, wherever it is you spend time with God, and that way you will have a devotional each day to focus your day and to start your day right. If you would turn in your bulletin to the announcements this morning. We had a great Christmas Eve service, a big crowd, and the weather held off. Actually, the weather never did anything around here. But anyway, I was worried about that. And praise God, it held off just fine. And we had a good crowd, and the candlelight portion of that service especially. All of it was amazing. Teddy's solo was amazing. And thank you so much for sharing your gift. That night, the wonderful baptism of Jet, and that was a great time as well. So, absolutely. If you remember right, a year ago at Christmas Eve, Janice announced Shemaine's pregnancy. And all of you at this church know how much prayer went into that pregnancy because it blessed their hearts. It was having a hard time, weren't they? And God blessed them with a child. And so Janice surprised even Shemaine and John about that announcement on Christmas Eve. So anyway, they wondered if they could baptize Jet on Christmas Eve so that it would memorialize that event. And that is just an awesome thing. So we had a great crowd. Also, one thing I want to lift up in that regard, during Hark the Herald Angels Sing on your bulletin, you'll see the March to the Manger right under that. That is this church's Christmas offering. And so while we sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing this morning, if you weren't prepared on Christmas Eve or you weren't here on Christmas Eve, we invite you to come forward during Hark the Herald Angels Sing and put your March to the Manger offering in the manger right here during that time. So we would appreciate it if you would do that. Also, notice this blue-green box in your bulletin. That is Jamie's and my yearly party. And so make sure that you know that you are... Woo! You notice it only goes to 6 p.m. though. Yeah. My bedtime's about 7. So, no, seriously, come and enjoy, please, come and enjoy Jamie's goodies, because, you see, I won't be able to keep my slim, trim figure if you don't come and enjoy her goodies in that regard. So, no, seriously, come, have a good time. You don't have to stay from 3 to 6. Come and go as you would like. We invite you to that. January 9th, that's a Sunday, I do believe. I want to lift up two things that are announcements this morning as well. All of these are important, but our sports and rec is getting ready to start volleyball. If you're interested in volleyball, it is a fun, low-intensity sport. The parks and rec, community parks and rec, are getting ready to do that. They're saving a spot for us, and they're waiting for Mike to call. So please call Mike if you have any interest in being a part of the volleyball. His number is listed right there, so please make sure you give him a call. Also, it is confirmation time confirmation time. If you're a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent of anyone who needs to go through confirmation, which essentially is anyone who is sixth grade and on up, it teaches them about the church. It also allows them to accept Christ for themselves, as Jet was. Maybe they've been baptized as a baby or not, and they want to learn about the church, learn what it means to be a Christian. It is a great time to do that. Lasts about 8 to 10 weeks, and we have a good time and learn a lot about the church and a lot about Christianity. So confirmation, make sure that you spread that news. Now, one thing I want to lift up, I really want to have mentors this year. I don't have a mirror to watch my mouth. So mentors are people who've already been through confirmation. A parent, grandparent, it could even be an older young adult. So 18 on up could be a part of this. It is a way to gain a relationship with the confirmand. It is a great experience, and you walk hand in hand with a particular confirmand in that regard. So it is a lot of fun, and I invite you, I really want people in this church to step up and be mentors this year. So give me a call in that regard. You ready for an awesome worship service this morning? Great. We will have a prelude this morning from Mark as we focus our hearts and our minds upon Jesus Christ.
Now, if you'll all just stand, and thank you, Mark, that was beautiful. If you all stand, we'll sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing on page 240 in the hymnal. And remember, this is the time for the march to the manger.
Reconcile.
gracious and holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this opportunity, the first Sunday after Christmas, Lord, to celebrate not only Jesus coming to this world as a baby, but on this end of the resurrection, God, we can celebrate his life. We can celebrate his death and resurrection. So as we gather this morning to worship you, we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us, to give us all we need to focus our hearts and our minds and our souls upon you, Lord. Fill this place full. Fill this place full of your Holy Spirit. Guide us and direct us, Lord, in our thoughts, so that as we come together, we can truly worship you today. We can truly celebrate your life in our life. We ask for your powerful Holy Spirit to be with us. Although we already know that you are here, we want to be deliberate in asking for your presence, God. Wash away all of those negative thoughts that we have. All those dark places in our souls, God, may your light shine bright in those corners. Help us know that you love us so much. Remind us that you had great plans for us before we were even born. Be with us, God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please sing now, He is Born, page 228. Kids, it's time for the children's message, and it'll be presented by Ginger Bartlett this morning.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I
sing
do.
With me. Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus. How about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning? Great. Today, I would like to tell you a story that took place many, many years ago in a faraway land. And it took place in a stable. But it's about four animals. A cow, a goat, a donkey, and a chicken. One late afternoon, these four animals stood in this stable. And they were very angry. They were put out. They were just griping and complaining. The cow was chewing her cud, just angry. And she said, I am sick to death of all these people. There's so many people around here, and all they want is milk, milk, milk. I'm telling you, animals, I'm tired of giving my milk to everybody. The goat spoke up, and she grabbed a bunch of hay and put it in her mouth and was chewing, and she said, hey, tell me about it. Everybody's in the mood for goat cheese this season. All they want is my milk so they can make them some cheese. I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. I'm tired of giving my milk. And the donkey said, hey, you know what? You think you got something to complain about? Have you seen my owner? He is one huge guy. He has ridden on my back all day long, up and down the road collecting taxes, collecting money for taxes. I don't know what money is, and I don't know about taxes, but I know one thing. I got a sore back, and I'm tired of it. The chicken said, you think you got something to complain about, people? Well, let me tell you something. Try being a chicken in a hungry mob of people. It's scary out there. Why, I've had to run for my life all day. One guy chased me around with a pot in his hand yelling chicken and noodles for supper. I'm hiding out. I do not want to see any more people. So they sat there and they complained and they kind of grumbled, and all of a sudden the stable door opened and a man and a woman walked in, and the cow went, oh great, more people. Hey, everybody be still. Don't say a word. Maybe they won't notice us. Well, the people didn't notice them. They come on in and the animals listen to them as they talk to each other. And the man said, Mary, I'm so sorry that I couldn't find you a bed in the inn, but I'm going to make you a soft bed out of hay and you can rest. And the woman said, that's okay, Joseph. I'm just tired. I just want to rest. Well, the animals were very quiet and they fell asleep. Now, sometime later, and I don't know how much later, the cow woke up to a bright light. And she thought, where is that light coming from? Like, it's dark outside. And the goat looked up and went, hey, guys, look up there in the ceiling. There's cracks, and there's a big star up there above our place, and it's shining down into the stable. And the donkey went, oh, wow, guys, look over there. Why, there's a baby laying over there in our manger. The chicken said, hey, do you hear that? They're singing. And it's so beautiful. Why, it's so beautiful. It sounds like angels singing. And the cow said, what are they singing? Well, they're singing. Let me see. Okay, they're singing about a little town in Bethlehem. And they're singing about how a baby's going to be born in a stable. And they're going to lay him in a manger. And the donkey went, hey, that's our baby. They're singing about us. And one of the other animals spoke up and said, what else are they singing about? And they said, they're singing about Lord of Lords and, let me see, King of Kings. And they're singing about God is sending his only son, Jesus, to save mankind. And all the animals looked at the baby and went, whoa. And all of a sudden, they weren't angry anymore. Their hearts were full of joy. And the cow went, hey, you know what? I bet they're thirsty. I'll give them all the milk they want. I think I got plenty. And the goat said, you know, it is a season for goat cheese. I've got plenty of milk to give to these folks so they can have goat cheese. And the donkey went, I'm not, my back doesn't hurt so bad anymore. Why, I'd be glad to just put them on my back and take them anywhere they want to go. And the chicken went, chicken's still kind of nervous. He went, I'll lay a couple eggs and they can have omelets for breakfast. And all the people, all the animals were so excited and happy. And you know what? They realized that they had been a part of a very special, extraordinary night. Now, guys, how many times do we get so busy and kind of grumpy about having to do things? We do that a lot, don't we? Instead, we need to be remembering what Jesus did for us and how God sent his only son to us. So the next time you get gripey and grumpy and worrying about what you have to do for other people, think about what God did for you, okay? Now, I've got a little special thing here for you this morning, and you can pick it up while you get your cups.
Okay, while the kids are collecting for missions this morning, we'll be singing Who Is He in Yonder Stall on page 190. You can remain seated. Been a blessed Christmas. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday. This morning, we are to remember Ron Halleck in prayer this week. He's been in and out of the hospital. Also, his sister passed away this week. And funeral services are tomorrow in Kansas City, so we need to keep their family in prayer. Larry Warthol had Larry Wathel had angioplasty, and he's home with June now, and we need to hold them up in prayer also this morning. We also have a whole list of people to keep in prayer this week. They're listed on the back of your bulletin. Also on your bulletin, remember to tear off your connection card and fill that out so you can put it in the offering later. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your excellent name. We thank you for your power in all the earth. You're our rock, you're our fortress, and our deliverer. We take refuge in you, and we love you, God. We see all that you do for us, and we give you great glory for it. Help us always to remember our gratitude towards you and to do what is right. May we reflect your goodness, your kindness, and mercy to all those around us. We have burdens and concerns on our hearts for our friends and families this morning, and for many in this congregation, and we lift them up before you for healing and help and comfort. You know their needs, you know each one of them, and we trust you to meet each one. Our hope is in you, Lord. We long for the day that you will truly be the Prince of Peace. And we're longing to be in your presence. Help us to live righteously in your sight. We ask this. And we ask your blessing on this place of worship and your anointing on the words of teaching. All this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now, the first service was just amazed at my wisdom when I said that it came right after 1 Timothy in your Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's right between 1 Timothy and Titus. So I invite you to turn either in your Bible, which I hope you brought, or the Pew Bible if you did not. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Once you find that, if you would close that on your finger and stand with me, let's raise those Bibles high above our head and let's say the Bible pledge this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing as we read 2 Timothy, beginning with chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We are blessed today to have Justin bring us the message.
So, Teddy, I was thinking, as we were singing He is Born with the French translation at the bottom, I'm thinking next Christmas Eve service, that's all you in French. You can do it. Well, Merry Christmas, first of all. Stacy and I got to spend our first Christmas in Warsaw this year. We just got back from seeing a lot of family and drove 13 hours on Thursday to get back here for the Christmas Eve service, and so needless to say, we were pretty tired after that. We spent Christmas eating Chinese food and watching True Grit. Nothing says Merry Christmas. I secretly wanted to wear an eye patch during the service, but I thought that would be a little distracting. Not at all. And I told Eric I want a holster for this next week. So, practice on the draw. This Sunday being the last Sunday in 2010, I hate to be the bad guy that sort of pulls us away from Christmas. I think our culture is pretty quick to say, okay, December 26th, the stores are open, take all your Christmas stuff back, let's get ready for the new year. And we do kind of take away from Christmas. We jump out of the season really fast. And because the majority of culture does that, I'm going to try to follow them and follow a certain mindset in a sense. And I think I feel comfortable doing that since a lot of places like to start playing Christmas music in September and they begin it that early. I think it's for us to go ahead and step out of that. But this next week, we'll start to see a lot of things in culture that are kind of goofy and a little strange even. You can almost compare it to a new season of football where maybe you're playing, maybe last season you were seventh string, okay? You weren't even a bench warmer, like they make you stand up. That's kind of what I was. I wasn't even a bench warmer. I had to stand up, and so the guys coming off the field could sit down. But this season, oh, this is the season. Okay, this is the season that we're going to lead the team in tackles, okay, on one side of the ball. This is the season we're going to lead the team in touchdowns. This is the season we're going all conference. We're all district. We're all state. This is the season, okay? Another example would be college, a new semester of college, only the adult version. So some of us that have been to college, we've come to a new semester and we've said, okay, this is the 4.0. Okay, this is the 4.0. I'm going to study hard. I'm going to get to bed early. Going to pencil in the studying. Going to get the term paper done early, regardless of the fact that we got a 1.2 last semester. Regardless of the fact that by the time the first class starts, we're already late and asking to borrow some paper. Now, virtually everyone, most people, and I say most because not all, they've already come up with some kind of goal that they want in the new year, maybe something they want to change about themselves, which honestly, I think it's a good desire. I think it's a good thing for us to have that because we can identify in ourselves that there's something missing, there's something incomplete, there's something broken in me. But the way that a lot of us carry this out is almost comical. The best example I can give would be... how many of you have been to a gym or some kind of fitness center in January? Okay, anyone know just that scene? Okay, you've got people trying on workout pants for the first time. You've got guys with brand new weightlifting gloves. They're Velcroing and un-Velcroing those bad boys. You've got squeaky new tennis shoes on the treadmill. All right, and so it's just a madhouse. There's new faces in there you've never seen before. There are old new faces, okay, that you saw them last January when they tried this, but now they're back in there thinking they can do it this year, right? And odds are whatever you start, it's not going to last, okay? Some people, maybe it's not fitness, maybe it's learning something new, okay? Some people like to just be different, okay? They're the contrarian. They like to go out and try to learn something new and different that no one else has done. What's your New Year's resolution? Well, I know a guy that's a taxidermist and he plays the accordion. I think I'm going to hang out with him and he's going to kind of teach me some of that stuff. And regardless, maybe it's a dulcimer, I don't know. But whatever, learn to play the dulcimer, whatever it is, odds are that 90% of us are going to stop doing it or we're going to fall out of that by Valentine's Day, and already we're the kid back on track with the 1.2 semester, if we're honest with ourselves. And earlier I mentioned that virtually everyone, but not all, because some of us have no real goals. Some of us are completely happy to let life live us and to have no real depth or deep meaning to life. But the majority would say that there's this thing in my life that I wish were different, or there's this thing about me that I wish I could change. So we try to adopt new practices. We try to change this thing about us, which in the end, it's surface. It's all surface. It's things that you see on the surface. What we end up doing is just masking or covering up the symptom of a much bigger issue in our life. Example, I already mentioned going to work out. Okay, you can jump in the gym with your new tennis shoes and your new weight gloves, and you can shed a few pounds, lose a few pounds, but if you never get to the deep part of, if you never dig down deeper to the issue, then it's always going to be a problem. Like, rather than sweating your tail off and shedding a few pounds here or there, what if you got to the root of why you're lazy? Or what if you got to the root of why you use food as an emotional or spiritual comfort? What if you got to the root of why you are a slave to food? Okay, another example, talking about learning something new. Do you truly want to learn something new because you think it's going to be fun, it's going to be an exciting thing, or are you insecure and you want to impress people? Okay, don't think that every young teenage guy picked up the acoustic guitar because they wanted to learn to play the acoustic guitar. Okay, some will get that later. But we do these things. Are you a slave to alcohol? Okay, do you want to just quit that? What binds you to this thing that you want to change? And what we do this all the time. All we ever do is just mask the symptoms, cover over it. If we have a deep wound, we slap a Band-Aid on that thing and think that's all it ever takes. If all we ever do is mow over the weeds, what will they do? All they do is grow back. If all you ever do is just pour dirt over weeds, all they ever do is grow back. So what I want to talk about this week and next week is where we are in 2011. Not about surface issues that people will end up tossing to the side in a few weeks, but deeper things. Maybe 2011 is the year that your spiritual goal is more than just church attendance. I'd like to think that 2011 is the year that some of us can get out of the kiddie pool, the spiritual kiddie pool, okay, take our floaties off, and jump in the deep end. Okay, we know the kiddie pool. Okay, we've seen some of our kids play in it. We see little kids with their little diaper / bathing suit combo. Okay, splashing around in the pool. The kiddie pool is always a few degrees warmer than the other pools for some reason. All right, the kids are just having the time of their life doing their thing over here, and that's fine, and that's great. We all love that. But if you see a 50-year-old man in the kiddie pool by himself, just having the time of his life, just going to town crazy, making bubbles in the water, it's a little sad. It's a little silly. And honestly, some of us are calling the cops, am I right? We're just like, look, I'm just saying you should look into this, okay? Just check it out, all right? But what if you decided that 2011 was the year that you got serious about the Lord? What if this is the year? Some of you have been Christians for 20 or 30 years, but you've been living year one over and over and over and over again, babying your way through life, making Sunday morning attendance your hobby, waiting for others to feed you and nurse you instead of taking the initiative to pursue God yourself, to lead your wife, to lead your kids, to lead your family to a relationship that is pleasing to Him. Maybe this is the year that you got involved on some level. Maybe this is a year that you get plugged in more with the church because Eric, myself, Deanna, Jamie, everyone on staff, everyone that works in the service in some capacity, we are not the only ministers. Okay? You guys are. As believers, you are the hands and feet of Christ, and it takes us all. Jesus has invited us all into that. And that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. I'm not going to go off into that much more, but whatever decisions we've made in the new year, whether it is something deep or it is something surface, it's going to require a certain amount of discipline. And it's not hard to see that people have different levels of discipline. Okay, you've got some that are very high discipline, and they've got their shoes alphabetized by color scheme among just whatever random, you know, organization they've got going on. Then you got people that are very low discipline, that laundry starts whenever their entire wardrobe is on the ground and they're cleaning that thing up, and they found like a pair of underwear in a pizza box. You found like a half-eaten Twinkie in your shoe. I mean, it's just, yeah. So you've got different levels of discipline in that, and I don't think that you can just say that, well, I'm just naturally not disciplined. That's just not a gift I've been given. I think everyone has a measure of discipline. I think that we have to exercise that. I think discipline's like muscle. If you don't work it out, it's going to stay strong, it's going to stay weak, and it's going to stay small. So think, discipline curls, okay? Just carry that with you, all right? I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul wrote a letter to guess who? Timothy, yes. Did I hear Jesus out there? No. Timothy, yes. Okay, Paul was never married. Paul never had any kids. So a lot of his time and devotion was just spent radically proclaiming the gospel. And Timothy was sort of an understudy of his, sort of a mentor-student relationship. So he has just a deep love for Timothy. You can see written in verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "You then, my child," okay, you don't go around just calling everyone your child. That's just a deep affection that Paul and Timothy have for one another. If you were to go around to someone and say, "My child, good to see you," okay, that would be a little creepy if you made a habit of doing that. So, did that creep you out? Okay. The hairs on the back of your neck. All right, so he says, "My child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer..." Whoops. Well, I don't have it up there. "It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." So Paul finishes these sets of verses saying, think about these things, okay? This is going to be something deep. It's not going to be surface. If all you ever do is stay surface, stay around the kiddie pool, you're not going to get this. You have to pay attention. You have to think about these things. And he gives a few different metaphors referring to the soldier, athlete, and the farmer. We're going to talk about the soldier today, but there's something that sits at the foundation at this discipline that we're going to talk about in our lives. And if we miss this, if we don't get this, we're not going to understand pursuing the Lord, being disciplined in pursuing the Lord. And that's in the first verse. If we go back to that, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by what? By the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So every ounce of discipline that we have in our strength to pursue God is by His grace from Jesus. So if you try to pursue God from your own strength, okay, what's created in you is a certain amount of pride, and you're just as far away from the God of the universe as you were in the beginning. Okay, that's a problem that the Pharisees had. Okay, right? Yeah, the Pharisees, they knew the laws, okay? They knew the rules, okay? They looked good in church. You can dress them up and take them to church, okay? They got up and they would pray these big, lofty prayers. "Oh, God, Adonai, El Shaddai, Creator, Lord, I thank you that I am not like that sinner." Okay? And in the end, their pursuit of God was from under their own power. It created pride in him, and they just didn't know him. My strength comes from knowing that every failure I've had, every shortcoming, every sin I've committed has been paid for by the blood of Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay? And he has paid the bill. And with that, his Holy Spirit lives in me, lives in you, and that Holy Spirit empowers me to do everything that God has called me to do today. For example, God hasn't called me to be a good husband to Stacy. Hey, sweetie. He has not called me to be a good husband to her without giving me the grace and empowering me to do that today. Okay? He has not called me to be the associate pastor of this church without giving me the grace to do that. He has not called me to stand here and preach without giving me the grace and empowering me to do that today. Okay? We find our strength in him and in him alone. He has not asked me to do things today that he's not already given me the grace to do. So, the discipline to pursue him with our whole hearts comes by his grace. Every day you are driven to pursue him is by his grace, and he pours that out to you every day, constantly. Okay? If you don't get that, if you miss the grace, then you miss the foundation at what allows us to pursue God. Okay, if we move on to the next verse, verse 3, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So I've always been fascinated by World War II movies and just the World War II era. History Channel, there always seems like there's something playing affiliated with that. And on June 6, 1944, the Allied forces began Operation Overlord. Okay, we know that it's D-Day today. Operation Overlord, the Allied forces dropped paratroopers all over France. Okay, who's seen Band of Brothers? Anybody? Okay. Dropped paratroopers all over France. Boats brought just ships of men over to the French borders. Okay, planes made bombing runs. Okay, in every capacity, every branch was doing something different. When those boys were scattered all over France, they were in different platoons. Maybe they didn't see someone they knew. They didn't know. They might not have seen anyone. Okay, so their immediate plan changed, but their objective never changed. The objective for everyone was to create a foothold in France, okay? Create a strong defense in France to draw the Germans back to them, okay? History. So, the objective never changed in any of that. And I have to find where I am. Okay, so no soldier gets caught up in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Okay, we have one goal, one objective, to know the person and work of Christ, to find everlasting joy in the sacrifice he gave us from our sins, in putting to death the sin. In putting to death sin, it creates in us an everlasting, overflowing joy. Okay, that's the aim. That's the goal. That's the objective. No little civilian or minute detail in our life derails us from the pursuit of him. So, what gets in your way? What is your civilian pursuit? Okay? What is the little thing in your life that derails you? Be a good soldier of Christ. So, in talking about civilian pursuits, in talking about what takes Jesus and removes him from our objective, what are the things that snare us? What are the things that get in our way? What are some of the things that entangle us? Because a lot of us think, okay, this thing over here, this is right, this is good, I'm going to stay here, I'm going to do these things, while we think, okay, this is wrong, I'm going to not do this, I'm going to stay away from this. When, if we're honest, what's robbing us of our affections and our time with the Lord is not something that is morally sinful, but it's something that's morally neutral. All right, and if I had to give you an example, let's say that I'm driving to Springfield, and let's say I stop in Buffalo and I get some gas. So I get out at the station and I start pumping some gas. Okay, I'm there just kind of doing my thing, and somebody comes over to me and says, "Hey man, you want to buy some cocaine?" Okay, what's not going to happen is I'm not going to say, "Oh, cocaine, huh? Well, can you give me just 1 second? Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's see. Pros and cons. Cons: I could lose my job. If I get caught, I could go to jail. Stacy would be very, very, very upset. Pros: well, the next 45 minutes could be interesting. That's not going to be a big battle for me. That's not going to be a big dilemma for me. Something that will be, though, let's say that I plan to get up early in the morning, spend some time with the Lord. Oh, it's so early. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll sleep in. Or maybe the loving thing for me to do as a husband when I get off work is to come in and ask Stacy how her day was, just engage her in conversation, just spend some time with her. Instead, I just sit down, maybe watch ESPN, see what bowl games are on. Okay? Those things aren't sinful. Okay? But whenever we put those in a place they don't belong, whenever we do them one day, and the next day, and the next day, okay? A day turns into four. 4 days turns into weeks, months, years, and before you know it, you've let morally neutral things, insignificant things, really just derail what God has called you to do. And honestly, some of us don't like silence. Silence makes us uncomfortable, whether we're with people or whether we're by ourselves. We got the radio going if we're in the car, we got the TV going if we're at the house, or maybe our hands are doing something. We need to be in the kitchen, in the wood shop, whatever that is, okay? Let me just encourage you to let God draw you into the silence. Let it be quiet. Okay? Let God pull you into that. Let Him whisper things to you, okay? For most of us, our biggest enemy is not what's wrong, but it's mediocrity. Okay, it's average. It's living a life that's full of things that we allow to steal our affections of the Lord. The civilian matters, the civilian pursuits are the stupid little things that we do along the way that rob us, that derail us from our relationship with God over time. It's the things that we do that rob us of our affections for the Lord. Don't get caught up in these mindless matters. Be a good soldier of Christ. In pleasing the one who enlisted us, his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. In doing that comes a reward. In pursuing Christ comes a reward. And the reward is that we know him, that we get to know him. Now, that doesn't seem appealing to everybody, but the way I see it is that we see it, the way we see relationships on earth anyways, is that people that we like, that like us, we like to be around them, okay? They're encouraging, they're fun, they say nice things, they give gifts, they're just pleasant to be around. But as soon as we find out somebody doesn't like us, we are experts on every one of their weaknesses, aren't we? Absolutely. She doesn't like me? Well, she's got a big hairy unibrow. Whatever, I don't care. I'll move on with my life. I don't need her in my life. Whatever. Get you, okay? So we view our relationship with the Lord like this too. We're moving and grooving, you know, with the Lord. We're listening, you know, he's dancing, we're dancing, we're just in step with him, in tune. All of a sudden we screw up, because we will, we all do, okay? We all mess up at some point. And so if we use what we know, okay, God's angry with me, he doesn't want to really talk to me, he's disappointed in me. So that creates separation, all right? That creates separation. And if you don't understand the grace that he offers, if all we ever do is run away from him and don't understand the gospel, then we'll always be in this back and forth movement of, well, God loves me. Oh, he thinks I'm a scumbag. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Oh, I'm such a tool. God thinks I'm a moron, okay? if we don't understand the cross, that at the cross, Jesus gave us right standing before God, before the throne of God, and he continually pours out his grace. Okay? John Piper calls this future grace, that in everything that we're doing, God continues to pour out his grace. Okay? He doesn't just throw out a grace nugget and say, hey, it's tough out there, good luck. Okay? Every day he's pouring out his grace. Every hour, every minute, and for some of us, every second, we need the grace of God. He is continually pouring that out. Okay? Okay, if you don't get this, if you don't get the grace, you're missing it. You're going to be frustrated for years. Be a good soldier of Christ. Take a look at the simple things in your life. Take a look at the things that get in your way. What stands in your way? Are they good things? Are they bad things? Are they neutral things that you've put in a place where they don't belong? Okay. Look at where you spend your time. Look at where you spend your money. I have a quote here by Francis Chan. All my crazy love readers say, what? Thank you. Francis Chan, I thought this was very appropriate, wrote an article, or just has a little snippet in an article I read. He said, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. How many of us are good at things that don't really matter? I know I am. Absolutely. I've skipped over a few verses in this passage, and we'll hit on those next week, but I want to end with verse 7. Paul says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. What is your objective in 2011? What is God calling you to do? Think over what I say. Let's pray. Lord, we don't want to be afraid of the silence. Lord, we pray that as this year comes to a close and as another begins, we don't think about goofy little things of how to start the year off right, but that we just start, not that we just start the new year, but that, God, that we start today to begin to position ourselves underneath your waterfall of grace. God, help us to think over what's been said here today. Help us identify areas of our life that are in need of change. Not change just for our own good, but change so that we can know you more. Help us to strive for the objective and to not get wrapped up in foolish pursuits. May this change be for your beautiful and mighty name. Amen. Now, before we sing, I want everyone to go ahead and turn to, is it 246? Joy to the World? I want you to look at something in here. I'm going to read you just a few lines of it. I'm probably the only one that needs to look it up. Everyone in here probably has all verses memorized, right? Of course. I want you to look at this. It reads, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Okay, we've been celebrating in the season of Christmas. Joy has been brought to the world. Earth has received its king. Jesus reigns. Prepare him room. Will you prepare room in your heart for him? So as we sing that, think over these things. I'm going to turn it over.
Stand with me and let's sing Joy to the World.
seated, and we'll continue in our worship with the giving of our tithes and our offering. And also remember to put your connection card in the offering basket at this time.
Our closing song is number 174, His Name is Wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Again, thank you so much for being here this morning. Merry Christmas one more time. We hope that you continue to celebrate God coming into this world. And make sure if you travel this weekend that you travel in safety, and always ask for God's hedge of protection before you leave. One thing, look at all these beautiful flowers. I know they're called poinsettias, right? And they're actually not flowers, they're leaves. But we would like you to take them home with you, especially if you ordered one or two. Make sure you take them home. And next week, all this will be down. And so if you, after church, yeah. So make sure if you would like to take one of these poinsettias that you do that this afternoon. So, Justin.
Father, we thank you. God, we just thank you for this season. We thank you for just everything that it represents, and we thank you for the joy that you gave to the world, and we thank you for the King that sits on the throne, and we thank you for the grace, God, that you continually pour out. Lord, just give us the grace to go from here to respond to you, to do what we've been called to do, God, and Lord, may your peace, may your shalom walk with us and guide us. We thank you. We say these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.